turn again to the passage we read from in Genesis and chapter 1, we read at the beginning of this chapter these words: "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." Oh, how much of the gospel there is in this opening chapter of Genesis, the opening chapter in the Bible. And how much of the gospel there is even in these opening few verses. What riches beyond compare. How the sovereignty of God shines forth. God said, let there be light. And there was light. When God speaks, he commands and things happen. God didn't ask. God didn't instruct others. He spake, let there be light. And there was light. He is a sovereign God. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. And we see his sovereignty, his speech, his rule throughout all this chapter. How we see his divine election, his authority, his will, his speech, his power, his love, his light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light. And there was light. He rules. There is authority here. He speaks, he commands. Let there be light. And there was light. The light shone forth. It shone forth. And God divided the light from the darkness. God saw the light, that it was good. But all else was darkness. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When we look around the world today, we see much of the darkness. The darkness there is outside of the light of God. The darkness there is outside of a knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. The darkness there is in man, in his fallen nature. By nature, we are born as those who are brought forth in the dark, and who love the dark, who love the darkness and the ways and the things of the darkness. We love the evil. We hate the light. We recoil from the light. We recoil from the knowledge of God and the love of God. We don't want to know about God. We don't want to know about his gospel. We don't want to know about his son. We love our own ways, our own glory, our own life, our own ends. We love the riches and the pleasures of this world. We love the wisdom of this world, the glory of this world, the status and the acclaim that this world can bring us. We love all things here below in the earth. But when one speaks unto us from the scriptures, when one speaks unto us of the living God, when one speaks unto us of the light of the world, we recoil. We turn aside. We see these things as being against us. The light, as it were, comes into our dark corner, into the dark corners of our life, and we recoil as an insect would scuttle away into the dark when a light is shone into a dark place. We don't like what the light does because it exposes us. It exposes us before God. It exposes what's within. It exposes our heart. It exposes the sin within. It exposes what we are before God. And we don't want to know what we are. And we don't want to think that he sees. And we don't like that we're accountable unto our Maker. We would rather live and pretend that there is no Maker. There is no God. There is no light. We'd rather go on as though man and this world and the natural realm is all that there is, and there is no God. There is no life after death. There is no one to be accountable to. Because if we accept the light and accept that there is a God and accept that we are created and accept that he sustains us and accept that one day we must stand before him, then we know that he will find us guilty, because we know that our deeds are evil. We know that we are of the darkness. We know that he will find us wanting. So we hate the light. We love darkness. And the two things are separated. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. There's a division. There are those who dwell in the darkness and those who dwell in the light. And those who dwell in the darkness don't like the light. They don't want the light. They don't seek the light. They hate the light. They reject it. As testified by John in the opening words of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This world was brought forth by the word of God, the speech of God, the Son of God. He is the light and the life of men. He is the light of God. And he, through his gospel, shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. It cannot see, it does not want to see. It turns away. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The light of God, the Word of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came into the world. The same world which was made by him. The same world he brought forth in the beginning when as God he spake. And the creation came forth. And that world in which he was knew him not. He came unto his own, the Jews. He was born in Bethlehem. A babe. In the city of David. A Jew. He grew up amongst the Jews. He came unto his own, those who should have looked for him, those who, like Anna, should have been waiting and watching and looking for the coming of Christ, the coming of Messiah, those who should have been watching and those who should have received him at his coming. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, because they, despite all their religion, despite all the knowledge they had, despite all the favour they had received from God, despite the scriptures they had in their very hands, they, like others, were of the darkness. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What of you? Are you of the darkness? Are you like the Jews? Do you have much religion? Do you have the scriptures? Have you read them? Have you heard them preached? Have you gone to meetings? Have you worshipped? Have you pretended to worship? Have you prayed? Have you tried to live before God? And yet, when the light of the Son of God comes unto you, in truth and in power, you receive it not. You receive him not. Does the light shine in the darkness of your heart? Does it shine around you? Does it shine unto you? And you turn and you hate and you cannot see, you cannot comprehend, you cannot understand. You can receive knowledge in the head. You can speak of the scriptures and speak of a God and speak of a Jesus and speak of living before God and speak of a way of righteousness. You can speak of many things. You know many things in your head. But when the knowledge of the true and living God, when the knowledge of the true Son of God, the light comes, you cannot comprehend it. When the authority and the rule and the sovereignty of this God and this Saviour comes your way, you reject. When the truth of his electing grace comes unto you, you say, no, it cannot be. When the reality that you can do nothing to save yourself is made known unto you, what is your response? When the reality in God's light comes that you are a wretched sinner deserving of his wrath, a child of wrath, a child of darkness, a child of the devil by nature, when the reality comes that you are dead in trespasses and sins, in the darkness, and despite all the appearance of your religion, despite everything that you might do and work and strive at, to make yourself presentable unto God, when the reality that that is all darkness comes unto you, what is your reaction? When the reality and the truth that God must speak for there to be light, that God must speak in your heart and in your soul if ever you are to live, when the reality comes that God must speak unto you and say, live, or else you remain dead, when that truth comes, what is your reaction? Do you remain in the darkness? Do you, like the Jews of old, receive not the coming of Messiah. Do you say, away with this man? We will not have this man to reign over us. Do you turn away? Do you seek to put out that light? Do you, as it were, take your hands to the candle to quench it and say, that's not the God I know. That's not the Jesus I know. That's not the salvation I know. My Jesus asks me, and I say, yes, I will follow. My Jesus presents unto me the choice. I will follow at my decision. I will follow because I have decided. I will be saved because I have gone this way. God is pleased with me because of what I have done. When you fight against the reality that you have done nothing good and can do nothing good and have never by nature chosen to follow the Son of God, have never by nature received his truth or his gospel, when you are faced with that reality that you are dead and you have not sought the Lord and you have not done good, what is your response? You love the darkness. Whether there be light or darkness is not in our hands, not in our decision, and not in our will. It is up to God to say, let there be light, and there is light. It is up to God. He is sovereign. And he did say, let there be light, and there was light. The great wonder, the great glory, the great joy is that in the midst of the darkness, God did say, let there be light, and there was light. God didn't leave the darkness to itself. At the beginning of time in creation, he didn't leave the darkness and the void as it was. He said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning of John, in the fullness of time, when the promises were to be fulfilled, the promises given to the Jews of old that Messiah would come, that a Saviour would come to redeem them, to set them free, to deliver them from their sins. When the fullness of time was come and the world by nature was still in darkness, God sent his Son. And the light shone forth in the darkness. God said, let there be light. And the light of God, Jesus Christ, came into the darkness of this world and was brought forth as a child. He was born that the light might shine in the darkness and that those whom God had chosen by grace to look and to wait for that light and to receive that light and to be illuminated by that light. Those whom God had chosen came to the light. And when the Son said unto them, follow me, they followed. Not because of their natural will, but because God by his grace changed their will and said, you are mine. And when you hear, you will receive and you will follow. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And if he says unto you or to me in the gospel, to our souls, which are dark by nature, if he comes in the gospel to us and says, let there be light, there will be light. And everything about the gospel and everything about Jesus Christ and everything about God and the everlasting life and heaven and earth and good and evil and the beginning and the end, everything that was once a mystery to us will now become reality, will now become clear. Everything will be lit up. We will see that which once we could not see. Once we were blind. And even though the light should shine, we were blind. It was all darkness. But when God says to us within, let there be light, the eyes open, the light shines forth within, and we see. We see. And God sees. And when he sees the light, he sees that it is good. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Have you come to the end of the first day? Has God brought forth a day in your life? Has he brought you to life by his gospel? Has he shone light into your heart? Or are you yet in the darkness, in the void, in the deep? For all your knowledge, for all your religion, for all your will, for all your strength, for all that you would seek and claim as being to your glory, to your credit, are you yet in the darkness? Let there be light. Light. What is this light? Men have that which they consider to be light. Men think of light as knowledge and wisdom of this world. Men will speak of illumination of various intellectual matters. They have come to learn this and come to understand this, and never have we lived in a day when there is more knowledge recorded and written down in books that men can go to and read and understand. You can think of any science, you can think of any literature, you can think of any subject, you can go and read about it. It is freely available. And there is much wisdom and knowledge that you can accumulate. But none of it will lead you unto God. It will give you a sense and an understanding of your surroundings, of the workings of the human body, of the workings of this world and its weather systems. It will give you knowledge, so called. But it will never lead you unto God. The knowledge and the wisdom of this world glorifies man. It will pump up your pride. It will make you proud of what you know and proud of what you've done and proud of what you could do. But it will never lead you unto God. There is much knowledge and wisdom in religion. Much that will tell you many things and many doctrines. You can read many books expounding this religion or that religion. Many books expounding the Bible. Many books which will give you an understanding of how the Bible was written, how it was recorded, who wrote what and when, what the different doctrines are. Many books which will contrast the different systems of salvation and teach you about Arminianism and Calvinism and the Reformation and teach you about all sorts of doctrines and truths, and you can learn it all and comprehend it in the head and still not know God. There is much that men call light, which is yet darkness. The light is Christ. The light is Christ. And unless you know Christ, you are yet in the darkness. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he will say of the souls of his people, let there be light within the soul of this one. And if he says, there will be light. Let there be Christ. And there was Christ. Except you know Christ. Except you see Christ. Except you hear Christ. Except you have Christ. You are in the darkness. You can know all about Christ. You can know every doctrine regarding Christ, but unless you know him as a reality, unless that doctrine is preached unto you by God the Holy Spirit and comes unto you in power, then it will remain as words in the head. But when the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of your soul and speaks, let there be light. Then he who was once hid from you, he who was just words unto you, knowledge unto you, becomes a reality. Then the darkness is overwhelmed by light, incomprehensible. He is the light of God, the light of God. Now recently I've been preaching through the Psalms, and this week we would have come to Psalm 27. Well, I felt led to preach on this chapter in Genesis without reference to the Psalms, but out of interest I turned to Psalm 27 to see what it would have been about. And the opening words of Psalm 27 of David are, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light." So I could hardly have picked, chosen, been led to a passage more relevant to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light. He is the light. He is the light of whom Moses speaks in this record in Genesis. He is the light of whom John speaks in the opening words of his gospel. And he is the light of whom David speaks in that psalm and in the other psalms. The Lord is the light. Christ is the light. And if you have the light, you are of the day. And you are separated from the night, and you are separated from the darkness, and you know what it is to be in the light and to be in the day and to live forevermore. You know what it is to dwell with the sun and feel the warmth of the sun and the love of the sun and the glory of the sun, of the Son of God. Let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. Oh, in these verses, can you see the pleasure that the Father had when his Son entered this world as the light shining in the darkness, and that babe was born of Mary, and the Father God looked upon that Son brought forth and said, "It is good. He is good. Behold my Son. Behold the light. Behold the Lamb of God." God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. There is a division. There are two realms in this world, two realms in life. Day and night. Darkness and light. Good and evil. The children of God and the children of the devil. You are either with Christ, in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you dwell in the light. The light inaccessible. God dwelleth in light inaccessible. Inaccessible because there's nothing that you can do by nature to enter into this light. The darkness is separated from the light. It cannot be mixed. It cannot get in. They're separate realms. You can't get into the light, not by your will or not by your strength. They're separated. But if God says, "Let there be light," then you who once dwelt in darkness will be transformed into the kingdom of his dear Son. You will be transformed. You'll be taken out of darkness into light. And you'll never be able to return to the darkness. They're two different realms. Because God divided the light from the darkness. Now there are those who will forever remain in the darkness because they will never hear those words, let there be light. And there are those who, born in darkness in the natural state, yet chosen eternally in the Son of God from before the foundation of the earth, will hear the words of God in the gospel and will be brought to the light, and having been brought, they will never return. They're separated. God divided the light from the darkness. He did this in creation at the beginning. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness he called night. He did this in creation. He did this with the coming of his Son, when the light came into the darkness, and when his Son came with his gospel, and when those who heard, followed and believed and were of the light, and those who rejected perished in the dark. He did this in creation. He did this with his Son. He did this with two types, two peoples in this world, the children of God and the children of the devil. And he did this in his Son, through his Son, upon the cross, when he separated the light from the darkness. God divided the light from the darkness at creation. But there's no place really where the division is not more singular than at the cross. That was the hour. That was the point in time in history when the division of the light from the darkness was brought forth and set forevermore. When Christ, who is the light, was taken to the cross. When he came unto his own, the Jews, and they said, away with this man, crucify him, crucify him. He who was the light of this world was taken, and he was nailed to a cross, and he was lifted up in the midday sun. And God looked upon his Son, and God said, this Son, my Son, shall be the sacrifice of my people. And the Son, as both priest and sacrifice, offered and was offered in the place of his people. And he bore the sins of all his people throughout all time. And he was made sin in their stead. And God took he who is light and made him to be darkness. He took the sin of those who dwelt in the darkness and laid that dark evil upon his Son, that he should bear that sin in their place. And the light of the Son was taken away. And for 3 hours there was darkness over all the earth as a figure of what Christ was and what he was doing. He who was the light was made sin. He bore the sins of his people. He took the darkness and he took it away in judgment. The Father looked upon his Son and poured out his wrath upon him. He poured out the fires of his wrath. He poured out an eternity of wrath for the sins of all his people. That eternal judgment which outside of Christ they should and must suffer, he poured that out upon his Son in the span of 3 hours. And in the darkness of those hours, he who was light bore the judgment, the burning wrath of God against that sin, until at the very end he could cry out, when the last sin had been paid for, when all the price was paid, when judgment was complete, he could cry out after his agony was complete, it is finished. And he hung his head and he gave up the ghost. And the light of the Sun returned and the light shone forth once more, because the darkness of that people was taken away. And God separated the light from the darkness. And in his Son, he took a people from all people. A people chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the earth. A people elect of God. He took a people, a countless multitude in his Son. In his Son, he took a people who were wed to his Son upon the cross, who were united with him, who were one with him as he suffered. He took that people through the hours of that cross, through the agony, through the judgment, that they in Christ might be led forth the other side of death and might come forth with him from the grave, victorious, having conquered with him, having had their sins conquered by the Saviour, having been delivered of their sins, that they might come forth with him out of darkness into light, that they might rise forth from the grave with him in the light, and that they might live and reign forevermore with their Saviour in the light. Let there be light. And God divided the light from the darkness, never more so than at the cross, where he brought forth the victory. Now, this fact of the cross, of the grave, and of the resurrection is then portrayed for us twofold in the creation account. We've read here of what happened on the first day. That on the first day there was darkness, that God spake, let there be light, and divided the darkness from the day. Moses goes on to tell us what happened on the second day and then the third day. And then he commences to tell us what happened on the fourth day, the fifth day, and the sixth day. And there's a repetition in theme of what happened on each day. On the first day, God divided the light from the darkness. Now, in terms of creation, he simply speaks of light and darkness. There's no mention of the sun or the moon here, or of the natural realm, or of those natural elements that give us light and darkness. There is simply light and darkness. But on the fourth day, we read in verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So on the fourth day, he returns very much to the same theme of light and darkness as set forth on the first day. We have, as it were, a repetition, but here we go into the light and the darkness and those lights, the sun and the moon and the stars, which God created to separate the night from the day and the darkness from the light. On the second day, Moses speaks of God's creation of the division of the waters above and the waters beneath, of the heavens from the deep. On the fifth day, he speaks of the creation of the life in the depths of the waters below and of the fowls who fly in the heavens. And then on the third day, Moses speaks of the creation of those living things of the life that comes forth upon the earth. And then on the sixth day, he speaks of the living creatures that God created upon the earth and the creation of man upon the earth. So we have a twice repetition of a threefold pattern of on one day the light being separated from the darkness. Then on the second day or the fifth day of heavens being, as it were, separated from the depths of the waters beneath. and of the creation of the creatures within those realms. And then on the third day and on the sixth day, we see life being brought forth. And this is a reflection of the cross. At the cross, God separated the light from the darkness. In the hours of Christ's death, he took those who were of the light and he judged their sins in he who is light. Hence the darkness of the sun. And he took that sin away. He took that darkness away so that when all the sin was judged, the Saviour might on the third day rise forth in glory without sin. And his people might rise forth in him without sin. And what happened on that day divided this world in two. Those who were delivered, those who had their sins washed away, those who had their sins blotted out, those who were of the light, who were separated from those who were of the darkness. That's what happened on the first day on the cross, which Moses repeats when he speaks of the lights in the heavens and the lights in the dark, in the light of the sun in the day and the light of the moon in the night. He speaks of the night and the day. On the fourth day. On the second day of creation, we see this separation of heaven and earth, of that which is above from that which is in the deeps, that which is in the depths. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. This separation of light and darkness is a separation of those who will remain in the depths from those who will be led up into the glories of heaven above. On the second day after Christ was crucified, he was laid in the depths of the earth, that on the third day he might rise forth and take his people up with everlasting life to live and reign with him in glory above. On the third day we read, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb yielding tree after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. On the third day he brought forth life upon this earth which he had created. The first day he separated the light from the darkness. Then he separates the heavens from the depths. Then he brings forth life. On the day of resurrection, on the third day, Christ rose from the dead. And on that day, he and his people came forth from the depths, from the grave, and were released and led forth with life everlasting. Life came forth on the third day. Pattern of which Moses repeats. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Verse 19, and the evening and the morning was the fourth day. Verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and the moving creature that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. He created the creatures in the depths below, and he created the creatures in the heavens above as a picture of what he was to bring forth eternally on the day of resurrection, when Christ led forth his bride out of the depths of the earth and led her forth to then rise up with him into glory above. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth and standeth upon the earth. Now this wonderful creation of man on the sixth day is a picture not just of the creation of Adam and then of Eve, who aren't mentioned by name until the next chapter. This is a picture of the man, the last Adam, the second man, the man Christ Jesus, and his bride. Created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. They're brought forth, male and female, on the third day as a result of the separation of light and darkness on the first day. Because of the cross, God brought forth his son from the grave in newness of everlasting life, and he brought forth his bride, his people, his church with him, forever to reign with him. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now there is no mention in this chapter of the serpent. There is no mention of the command of God regarding the two trees and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There is no mention of the fall of man or the rebellion of man against his God. Chapter 1 concerns the 6 days, the twofold account of creation in figure, pointing us to the cross, the grave, the resurrection, twice over. In the second account, showing forth the man and his bride, the church. Here is the gospel. Here the light of God rings forth, shines forth throughout every verse of the chapter, showing us God's ultimate purpose, that he will look at this world of nothing and say in its midst, through his gospel, through his son, by his spirit, let there be light. And when he speaks such unto you and to I, there is life. And we as the bride are brought forth from the grave with Christ, with the man, to live and to reign with him forevermore. All life on the earth is brought forth on the sixth day. First the creatures, but then the man, then the woman, Christ and his bride. How the light shines forth in this. How we see the power of his resurrection. How we see the glory that God brought forth as a result of the death of his son for his people. Here is God's ultimate creation. No mention of the fall. None of the sin of man mentioned. That's implied by the darkness. But here is the culmination of the gospel. In perfection. In the creation of man in God's image. Male and female. Perfect. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. He looked upon his son at the cross. He looked at what his son did in suffering and bleeding for his people. He looked at the bride that his son perfected and sanctified, who was brought forth out of his side, who was brought forth from the grave with him. He looked at the bride that his son brought forth in victory from the battlefield, riding upon that victorious horse with the conquering hero. As the son brought his bride into heaven's court, the Lord God, the Heavenly Father, looked upon his son and his bride, and he saw that bride in perfection, without spot and without blemish. And God said of all, it is very good. Very good. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Have you heard this light? Have you seen this light? Do you know this light? Have you been separated from the darkness? Has God said unto you and to your soul, let there be light? And there was light. Let there be light. Amen.